we had done too. I believe that Charla McConnell is in Glucksman Ireland House as we speak. Hello there. You're very welcome.
Good morning, Adrian. Good morning, everybody. Yes, Adrian, I'm down at Glucksman Ireland House on Washington Square.
There are a couple of things happening down there. Obviously, a lot of our listeners Dr. Miriam Nyhan-Gray hosts the first hour on irishradio.com from Glucksman Ireland House with a program called This Irish America.
Today we're on day two of what is the Scotch-Irish Contributions to America conference that's put on by the Ulster American Foundation. And we've just finished a morning session here with two phenomenal musicians and writers who have written the history of the Scotch-Irish influence on music in America. And Adrian, you would have loved the whole conversation, because it actually tracked it right down to the great days of Greenwich Village, when the music of even people like Bob Dylan was being influenced by what was coming from Ireland and Scotland. So that's where I am. And as you know, we're getting ready for our show on Tuesday evening at the Sheen Center on Bleecker Street, where we're going to be doing the Land of Promise, which is Origin, produced by George Heslin, written by myself, on the celebration of the Scots-Irish.
Tara McConnell, depending on which hat you are wearing, any day of the week, but you don't have to respond to this, but Tara McConnell, Communications, Ireland and America, is considered to be the prime marketing and promotions company here, particularly with Irish America and Ireland in particular. Tell us a little bit about yourself where were you bred and buttered?
Well, I was bred. Well, it's appropriate that I'm talking about Scots Irish. Because I was bred and buttered in Donegal, in Buncrana, on the beautiful Inishowen Peninsula, in County Donegal. Grew up there, came to, always was interested in writing and music and theater, as you well know, Adrian, and came to New York back in the 70s. And over the years, I've worked with the Irish American community. I had the great privilege of working as a journalist, as a writer, as a marketeer for Irish America Magazine and Irish Voice. And, always my focus has always been on our culture, on our great Irish culture, but how that culture is being realized in our new home in the United States. So for the last 30 years, like yourself, Adrian, I have just really focused on how to tell America about what's going on in Ireland, and at the same time, learn from America what happened to all of the Irish who came here and how they helped shape America in the process. So I don't know if that's a good statement, but that's my story.
And well said. You know, we have heard in a lot of times, particularly throughout America, the hyphenated Irish America, and in many cases we hear Scots Irish.
Right.
Now, the Scots Irish migration actually it dates back, or at least became prominent not in the 18th century and then into the 19th century. And we do know that, again, through your own research, and we'll talk a little bit more about your play coming up on this Tuesday evening. But give us an idea of the influence of the Scots-Irish and why were they categorized? As a matter of fact, even in the U.S. Census for many decades, there was a separate category for Scots-Irish.
Well, it's a great question, Adrian, and it goes to the very heart of what we're doing. A couple of months ago, George Heslin at Origin Theatre was commissioned as part of a festival that's being held this month at Carnegie Hall. It's called Migrations, the Making of America. And it looks at three strands of the communities that were so powerful on the American scene. And, of course, one of those strands is the Ulster Scot, or the Scots-Irish. And so George invited me to collaborate with him and put together a show. So in the process of doing that, what I've discovered, Adrian, is this is one of the great untold stories of our time. Because we've sort of missed this story because it can be a little complicated. But just to simplify it, the migration of the Ulster Scot, it's really a two-part story. It's the part where the Scottish settlers went over to Ulster at the plantation of Ireland, and that migration sort of began all through Ulster. Now we're talking about Ulster. We're talking about the nine counties, not just the six counties of Northern Ireland. We're talking about the nine counties of Ulster, because many of them were in Donegal and Cavan and right around the entire province. So they went over to Ireland. They thought, well, okay, there's all this empty land there. The British government wanted to be rid of them from Scotland because there was famine and issues in Scotland, bad economy. And, of course, you know, Braveheart tells the story of the continuous warfare between Scotland and England. So the English thought, well, wait a minute, now maybe the solution is if we give them free land in Ireland and Ulster, that'll solve the problem. Well, it did solve the problem for about two generations. It didn't solve the problem for the native Irish, but it solved the problem for the Scottish settlers. So for about two generations they were there. They made their home there. They farmed the land. They discovered industries like the linen industry. And after two generations, the British government decided they were doing too well. So they said that they needed to do something about it. They would put more taxes on them. And the established Church of England, the Anglican Church, did not like them because they were Presbyterian. They didn't respect their religion. So within two generations, the Scots-Irish decided, at that point they were called the Ulster Scots, because they were only in Ulster. But they decided, well, they've had enough of this. They were going to go to the New World. They had begun to have traffic with America through the linen industry, primarily through shipbuilding as well. So they had begun to traffic to America. And unlike our family down in the Catholic Irish, they left in groups. They left in congregations. You know, at one period in the middle 1700s, 250,000 of them left Ulster to come to Pennsylvania. So this began a migration that was going to go on into the late 1700s. And when they came to America, they began to be known as the Scots-Irish or the Scotch-Irish. So it's a story of two migrations. And then, of course, when they came to America, everything changed because they put their footprint on everything, on the cities of Philadelphia, New York. They were very much involved in the background of the Revolutionary War. They did not like England telling them what to do. So these men, about five of them, were signatories of the Declaration of Independence. And these men and women, they thought no more taxes. They didn't want to do it in the British way. They wanted freedom. So they were very much involved, even the Declaration of Independence itself. The printed piece was printed by a man from Strabane called John Dunlop. So the story is an amazing story, Adrian, that goes on down to the southern states It has an influence on music in Appalachia, and its influence continues this day, particularly through country music, Nashville, and so forth. But it shouldn't be forgotten that their great contribution was probably political, was the impact they had on the revolutionary, colonial days, and their focus on the revolution with George Washington.
Turner, the question that is often asked is, well, with Scots-Irish, do they consider themselves Scottish or Irish? There's a
They live in the hyphen, Adrian. They consider themselves both. They consider themselves both. And I think it's a great lesson for people today to realize that people who migrate are both. I consider myself an American and an Irishman. I think this country is built on immigrants. All of the immigrants consider themselves Americans and the country they come from. In the case of the Scots-Irish, well, they have three countries to choose from. They're Scottish, they're Irish, and they're American. And it's that combination that makes them very distinct. And it's that combination they have brought to bear on as an influence on music, on the arts, on industry, you know, just right across the board, all of civic society, is they've brought each of those talents. George Washington said that if he was going to go down in the war, he wanted to go down with the Scots-Irish. And so many of the generals and the warriors themselves were Scots-Irish. For example, in the American Civil War, you had the general leading the Union Army was General Ulysses S. Grant, who was, again, another man from County Tyrone. His parents were from Tyrone. And on the other side, on the Confederacy side, you had General Robert E. Lee, whose ancestors were also from Ulster, Scots-Irish. And Lee said that the definition for him was that he wanted them around him because as Irishmen, they were full of dash and verve. And as Scotsmen, they were stubborn and they wouldn't let go.
All right. Tell us about your own composition, your own writing, your own production.
Our show.
Of the show coming up on Wednesday here.
Right. Well, basically what we're doing is, thanks to George, who's a terrific director, he has brought together a great cast of actors, musicians, dancers. And so we're going to tell the story of the Scots-Irish. We're going to tell, you know, the migration from Scotland to Ulster to America, and then the great big opening of that story in America and how it has influenced America on so many levels. And we'll do that through, as I said, music. We'll have some of the performers. We'll have a young West End singer whose name is Owen Cannon, and he's going to be playing the role of Frank McCourt in an upcoming musical based on Angela's Ashes. So Owen is in the show. The actors, Broadway actor, actress and film actress, Orla Cassidy is one of our narrators. Colin Ryan is a narrator. Then we have a new group, the New Irish Tenors, called Try. And there's three great Irishmen singers, David O'Leary, Carl Scully, and Daniel Curran. And then we have the wonderful Niamh Hyland, who you've heard singing at the Hall of Fame when you were inducted into the Irish America Hall of Fame. So we have a full night of music, and then we have dance. We have Hammer Step, which is a group of American dancers who are influenced by everything, like Irish music, Scots music, African American, just, you know, how all the music comes together in one very dynamic force. And that's the show. It's going to run for about 90 minutes. If people want to get some more information about it, they should just go right to the Origin's website, which is Origin Theatre, spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E .org, and on the main stage, they get all the information about the show on Tuesday. And if there's any trouble getting in, just have them call me on, you know, through you, on your website, Adrian, because you've been such a promoter of everything we do. So, you know, that's the scope of it. So we're looking at, and you know, the Sheen Theater is on Bleecker Street, just out here in Greenwich Village, and beautiful theater. And we expect, you know, we expect a full house, and it'll be a great evening.
Just to get a bit a little parochial at this point, Tarla, you know that when we were growing up, and when you know, we made an error either in judgment or as I did by saying it was Wednesday, we got a tonk. A tonk was an elbow into the ribs. Well, I got a tonk from Anya Sheridan here when I said it was on Wednesday.
So, oh.
So for anybody who goes down on Wednesday, you've missed it. It's, it's on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, April 16th, and showtime is 7:30.
How about that? And also, I think we should really give credit to, you know, many of your own productions are supported not just by one organization, but you've collaborated, and indeed Origin Theatre, the great George Heslin, founder from Limerick. But Tuesday evenings, The Land of Promise, written by Tarla McConnell, is actually, you know, is in collaboration, I used to say, with Carnegie Hall, but also, and it is produced by Tarla, directed by George Heslin, but it is indeed in conjunction, you know, with the Northern Ireland Bureau, with...
Absolutely, yes. It's supported by the Northern Ireland Bureau and the Ulster Scots Agency. And, you know, we take it, George and I take it as a really great privilege that they've entrusted us with this story. They've said to us, okay, that, you know, we're asking you to help tell our story. And in a way, Adrian, this goes right to the heart of what you and I feel so passionately about when we talk about Northern Ireland and we talk about Ulster. I mean, one of the great outcomes of the Good Friday Agreement was that the world would start recognizing the two different communities in Northern Ireland. And thanks to the Good Friday Agreement, we have the Northern Ireland Bureau supporting this show and saying, you help us tell our story.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, it's a real privilege to be able to do that.
Yeah. Of course, the Northern Ireland Bureau, it's run here in New York by our mutual friend and indeed a great supporter of all things Irish, Lorraine Turner, who heads, again, the Northern Ireland Bureau. And a very, you know, in cultural... projects and promotions, and you know, you have served your time and continue to do that. But it is very important to get not only the financial backing from, you know, established philanthropic organizations, but also to get their imperator to. I think that's probably as important as the money.
Absolutely, because, you know, they invite you into their world. They invite you, they share their history with you. They share their dreams, their aspirations. And, you know, you have access to materials. And, you know, you actually get a real Irish welcome into, you know, an area that is so, you know, it's both Scottish and Irish. But at the end of the day, it's very human. And it's all about how do we speak to each other respectfully? How do we salute each other's culture? What do we do? We're all migrants. And that's what's beautiful about the Carnegie Hall Festival. It really speaks to the importance of the, you know, the movement of people. And in the movement of people, which we're hearing constantly on our radio and television today about how people are not allowed to move or are allowed to move, that it creates its own power. And the Scots-Irish are just one example. The Irish and the Catholic Irish are another great example of what happens when people move and they can change the world. And that's what we're celebrating, is we're celebrating that aspect of that movement makes things change. It makes things work. It makes things richer. You bring so much more with you, and you add so much more to what's there. So, I mean, yeah. How great is that?
How great is it? We do want to let our listeners know that this is for one night only, the Sheen Center here in New York City. It's on, is it Berkeley?
It's on the Sheen Center on, it's on Bleecker Street.
Bleecker.
In Manhattan.
Yeah. All right. And easy enough to get to. It's an evening of music, of song and dance, portraying the Scots-Irish settlers who became, and they did become pioneers, patriots, and presidents.
You know? Absolutely. You had Davy Crockett, Kit Carson. You have 18 presidents who claim, you know, even the most recent being Barack Obama on his mother's side claims Scots-Irish. You know, as for Donald Trump, we know his mom is Scottish. His dad is German. So there's not much Ulster going on there. But, you know, we have 18 presidents who are linked to Ulster. And that's very significant. And they are now telling their story. And they want their story to be heard. And we're trying to help them.
Again, contact. I know it's getting late in the day and you're almost full, but give us the most direct, easiest way.
The easiest way is to go to the origintheatre.org website. And that's spelled O-R-I-G-I-N. theatre.org, and look at the information about the show is on there. The show is called The Land of Promise, a celebration of the Scots-Irish, and we hope everyone will come. And if people know us, Adrian, friends of ours, you know, just let us know. We'd love everybody to be there.
Thank you. We look forward to seeing you.
All thank right. you, and thank Anya, as always. Take care, Adrian.
And, you know, a little Scottish military two-step wouldn't go astray here. Selection here, military two-step. Played, of course, it's the Scotland and the dances of the Scottish, and their, of course, close association with Ulster. Jimmy Shand, and Jimmy Shand, of course, a Scots Irish musician of great fame. And indeed, when it comes to the music or the intermingling of Irish music in Scotland or Scottish music throughout Ireland, but particularly in Ulster, we do know that, of course, the influence of the Scots, the Scots-Irish in America has been something of great note and of great influence. Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA, irishradio.com worldwide, and this is the Flannelly Show, and we're broadcasting from New York City.